2 Corinthians 5. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this is my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked them what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of Jesus, amen. As we just sang there in God Loved the World So That He Gave, we had a bit of a summary of John 3:16 in the first stanza. And in the third, we hear, God would not have the sinner die. His Son with saving grace is nigh. His Spirit in the Word declares how we in Christ are heaven's heirs. I love that hymn, and especially in connection with our gospel reading for today. This reading of the prodigal son is one that we've heard before. I've heard many times, I'm sure you have as well, because it's a really good one, and we love it so much. It has so much to teach. Now, you may have also noticed I did something different than I've ever done before today, at least here, where, as during the reading of the gospel, I was kind of wandering around in the chancel area. Don't worry, I wasn't lost. You don't have to, you know, check on me afterwards. It was deliberate. You see, I wanted us to maybe picture differently this parable that we have heard many times. Hearing this great and wonderful story about this father who loves his sons, even the one who went far off, even as far as the cool coloring table in the back where the kids can grab their things, all the way off in the deep dark land over there. I always used to call that when I was younger Cheerio Row, because you'd find all sorts of little leftover bits and pieces. That's okay. Seeing back there, Nathan, I don't see you have any Cheerios today. That's all right. That's next time. In this story, though, Jesus is telling it to specific individuals for a specific situation, and he wanted them to see and experience and feel what he's been trying to teach them already. This is the third of these stories here in Luke 15, these third of these parables, talking about rejoicing over the one that was lost that is now saved. And here we have in verse 1, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. They were coming towards Jesus and spending time with him. And the Pharisees and the scribes are grumbling. The word there in Greek is like a continuing to grumble, a constant grumbling. They say, this man receives sinners and eats with them. How dare he? He says he's supposed to talk for God and he's spending time with these unclean people? It's awful. Now Jesus, he tells them this parable in a way that you can imagine maybe as he's telling it, he's even wandering back and forth between these two groups of people. Picture Jesus talking to these sinners, these people who are now having a meal with him. So Jesus is off having this time with these people who have not been to the temple. They've not been with God. They've not been spending time following his will. The Pharisees and scribes don't see them there at the temple. They see them off doing things they'd rather not talk about in the rest of the city. And so they're over there with Jesus, though, now. They're not out in the deep, dark places. They're coming to Jesus. They're spending time with him. And you can imagine as Jesus tells this parable, he maybe is having a meal with them. He's there on the ground, maybe reclining and talking, explaining God's love and mercy to them. And here come these Pharisees who are grumbling. And you imagine Jesus starts to tell this parable. He gets up and he walks over to them, and he's talking to the Pharisees, the ones who are over here for the purpose of this message. They're closer to the pulpit, if it helps. He's talking to them, and he tells them this story about this father who had these two sons, maybe even gesturing to both groups of people. And this father has them together, and at one point the son says, give to me all that is mine in my inheritance. Basically, if you were dead already, give me what I'd be getting anyway. And so he's maybe saying this with the Pharisees behind him. So they go off. They take all of the goodness that God has given them, and they go off into the deep, dark Cheerio Row, all the way in the back. They're not paying attention to God's will. They're doing whatever they want. It's okay to have Cheerios and play and read in color books. It's fine. It's good. But in the story, they've gone off into this deep, dark land. And as things are there, it's not going well for him. He squanders away all the good that God has given him, all the good that his father has given him. And he realizes, man, life on my own, life away from my father isn't great. My servants have things far greater. And as he's saying this, You imagine these tax collectors and sinners are sitting there thinking, I've been there. I know life away from God isn't great. And then he realizes, you know, even the servants at my father's house had things better than I have them now. Even they could at least not be sleeping and eating with the pigs, the lowest form of life for a Jewish person. Maybe if I go back and apologize, maybe he'll let me serve in his house. So he makes his way wandering back, and you can imagine these tax collectors and sinners like thinking, yeah, that's been us. We know that we're those bad people. We need something different. They've been hearing Jesus talk specifically, best Bible study ever. And as they're hearing this, they realize, yeah, we're those ones who want something different. Now, in the parable, right, he's telling this story, and you've got the father who sees his son from far off, and he sees him coming. He picks up his robes. I hope I don't eat it here. He goes running off down there, and he sees him coming, and he sees his son. Get out of here, buddy. I know. Now he's brand. All right. I'll hug you both. Oh, I love you.
I love you, buddy. You're great.
And he's so excited he's home. Thanks, guys. Imagine then as he's telling that story, he actually goes walking over to those tax collectors and sinners that are there. He says, he's so excited. The father wraps him up in his arms, and he's so excited that they're here. He's left the Pharisees over there now. He's so excited that the one who was lost, the one who was dead, who in fact said, Father, you're dead to me, but actually went off towards death itself, has come back. He is alive again. He's here in the fold. He's wrapped up in the Father's love. Now, throw a big celebration. They give him everything. They give him new robe. They give him a signet ring to show that he has the name of his father there, that he stamps it down and says, I'm a part of this family. You're welcomed into the family. You don't have to be a servant. Even after all of your sin, you're brought back into the fold. You're a part of the family. You are fully loved. You don't have to go to a lesser part of this situation. You are my son. The tax collectors and sinners are probably like, oh, that feels good. Now, as this is happening, the older brother is off and he hears this commotion. And he hears from the servants that his brother is back. Shouldn't we all be celebrating? Your father's throwing a big party. But the brother doesn't come back to be with his younger brother. He stays off over there grumbling. So the father comes to him too and tells him, you are always with me. You've always been here. You've been doing what the law says to do. But your brother, who was lost, is now found. He was dead, and now he's alive again. Imagine as Jesus is telling this parable to the Pharisees. He's entreating them, pulling in their heart, be reconciled to your brother. He's come and been reconciled with the Father. I want you to be reconciled together with them too. Now the parable stops there. I don't imagine too many Pharisees and scribes who said, oh, yeah, sure, let's come over here and have a meal. Rather, they probably went back to where they're used to being, behind the pulpit. I mean, in the temple. That parable where Jesus is showing them God calls all people to himself. Notice the big gap between them. Both brothers are separate from each other. But in calling them to himself, they would find that they are indeed brought closer together. Last week's readings in this season of Lent, they are kind of all ride together these different themes and messages. Last week we talked about repentance and turning back to God. Today we hear about reconciliation. That was our epistle reading today in 2 Corinthians. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. God calls all of us to be with him. He calls all of us to this vertical relationship. He wants to bring us to himself, and he does so through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, our sinfulness, whether it's the sinfulness of walking away from God and his laws, or the sinfulness of our own pride that says we can do things on our own, not following the will of God, not loving others the way he loves us. Whatever that sin is that is in our own heart, God has forgiven all of it through Jesus. He wants to make a right relationship with us, a vertical relationship, if you will, between God and man. He wants to meet us here and call us his children. In doing this, in giving us this vertical relationship, he also brings us together in a horizontal relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It makes a really nice image if you think about it. God calls us to himself, and where we meet him here, he draws us together with those who also need Jesus as their Savior. Now in the story, both of the brothers, in the parable, both of these brothers did not have the will of God in mind. One said, I don't need you. Give me what is mine and I'm going to leave. Assuming that it's his, even though it's not, it belongs to the Father. He turns away from who we know in the parable to be God. The other brother says, I'm doing the right things over here. But as we come to know about the Pharisees and scribes throughout the rest of the Gospels, the problem isn't the action, it's the heart. It's the motivation. It's the thought behind what they're doing. They're going through the motions of following God's law, but they're doing it for selfish, prideful purposes, not because they are actually following the will of the Father, or they too would be so excited that these tax collectors and sinners want to hear about God's word. Both brothers are not following the will of the Father. And so when they are called to God, reconciled to him, having his will, having his heart, they are restored and they are made whole. And in doing that, being reconciled to God, we find that we indeed are reconciled to each other as well. Following in verse 18 that I read before, as I said, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. God has reconciled or made us right with himself, and now we have this great joy of sharing that news with others. Christ has made us right before the Father. Continuing on in verse 20, we implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That is our great and wonderful calling, as those who have been called here to God, to call others to be with us in unity. The sad thing about the world, though, is that there are so many people who feel and experience that distance, the distance that existed between the two brothers in the parable, and they come looking for something to help them feel closer or more reconciled to others. And when they do that, there is no lack of different religious ideas or non-religious ideas that say, we have the answer. We know how to help you feel at peace with your community or one with others. So many false religions that would say the most important thing, the most important relationship you have is to support one another in community and to be here. That's the only relationship that really matters. The focus is purely on that horizontal relationship. Work together. Play nice. Show love and kindness. Whatever that love and kindness looks like to you or whatever it is, wherever it comes from, be kind, be good. If you're a good person, that's really what matters. We find that all over. And yet we know, not just through this parable, not just 2 Corinthians, but we know it for ourselves even, that if it's up to us to try to reconcile with other people, if it's up to me to go be loving and kind to people that I don't want to be sometimes, it's all manufactured. I might do it behind a smile. But if I do know that God has loved me and has forgiven me, and he looks at me with his eyes and sees his child that he loves, we can ask that God would help us to see other people the same way. Help us to see those who don't act like us, don't look like us, don't have the same church background as us. They even eat different foods than we like to eat. Ugh. They might even be Beavers fans instead of Ducks fans, or vice versa. Or they may have no horse in that match there. Who knows? When we try to manufacture this horizontal relationship with just human understanding, it doesn't lead to the same change of heart or mind that God can provide for us. He who has reconciled us to our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, he who has called us back together to God, is the one that brings us into community with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We call them our brothers and sisters in Christ because he's brought us there. Earlier we sang perhaps one of my favorite little bits of liturgy, "Create in me a clean heart." Thank you. And I love how especially we do it here with a crescendo near the end as we say, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." To say, restore me to this joy that you have. Bring me back to you. And in that joy, with that, as Paul puts it, with that ministry of reconciliation, being brought together with God, that is the joy that we go into the world saying, yes, I want others to be brought in too. I want my brothers on both sides of the camp here to find Jesus Christ and to be reconciled to God. To say, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, for all of our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We see that all through Lent. We see it all through the Bible. God loves you so that he gave his only Son. He did this so that you would be made also his son or his daughter, his own child, an heir who receives all good things. And he'll continue to do that every day of your life, reconciling you to himself and others to you until he brings you to life everlasting. That promise is yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.